Time to visit with Peter Dykstra in Conyers, Georgia now. Peter's with Environmental Health News. That's EHN.org and DailyClimate.org. And he's been busy probing the world beyond the headlines. He's on the line now. Hi there, Peter.
Hi, Steve. As President Obama prepares to leave office, his admirers will line up the accolades just like most other presidents of any political stripe. Last week, a retired biologist who's both an admirer and a distant relative of the president named a newly discovered creature in his honor.
Oh, a new creature? What?
The new species is Barotrema obamai, a 2-inch flatworm that's a parasite and makes its home in the bloodstreams of turtles. It joins a spider, 2 small fish species, a prehistoric lizard, another parasitic worm, and a rainforest bird named to honor Obama.
Parasitic worm? I'm thinking the president's going to be offended.
I don't see why. After all, one of President George W. Bush's admirers in the biology community discovered 4 new species of slime mold beetles and named one Agathidium bushi in honor of the 43rd president. Then he christened 2 other slime mold beetle species, Agathidium chainii and Agathidium rumsfeldi, in what he insists was a compliment to all 3 men.
And just whom did he honor with his 4th slime mold beetle discovery?
Well, that was Darth Vader.
You got to be making this up.
No, this is probably one of those times where I have to insist that I'm not making this up.
Peter, don't they usually name, federal buildings and airports and high schools after presidents?
Yeah, in fact, they renamed EPA headquarters after Bill Clinton a few years ago, and that building is right next to the Ronald Reagan Federal Building.
Yeah, see, the list goes on, right?
Yeah, here are some more examples. NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston, not far from George H.W. Bush Intercontinental Airport, Richard Nixon High School, but that's in Liberia, and the Navy's nuclear-powered attack submarine, the Jimmy Carter. I always thought that last one was a little special since President Carter served aboard submarines when he was in the Navy.
Yeah, but like President George W. Bush and Homer Simpson, he couldn't quite pronounce the word nuclear.
Yeah, it's more like nuclear.
And now it's flatworms and slime mold beetles. You can already hear the marine band playing Hail to the Parasite. What do you have next for us?
The beginnings of a political and economic battle that could have huge implications for the environment, and not only that, our car culture and our hometowns. The electric car maker Tesla is obviously challenging how we power our cars, but you know what? They're also threatening to take down the time-honored, legally binding way that we sell those cars.
Oh, you mean those screamingly loud TV commercials for car dealerships?
Yeah, in a way, yeah. The established automakers all work through a system where they can't sell cars directly. They have to work through locally owned dealerships. Tesla's challenging that, and they've been cleared in nearly half the U.S. states to sell directly to consumers without the middleman dealerships. And there are signs that the big U.S. automakers and their foreign competitors may follow their lead, moving to a system that's based more on online sales, with showrooms that don't have a sea of new cars parked outside, ready to be bought and driven away.
Well, Tesla may want that kind of direct sales system, and others may follow, but I can't imagine that local car dealers are all that pleased.
Oh, no. The National Automobile Dealers Association is now the biggest spending lobby group in the whole auto industry. The Tesla marketing model is clearly more efficient, but there's an argument for old-school dealerships that's a little bit more than sentimental. Auto dealers may be spending more on lobbying, but they're also a traditional cornerstone of support for local charities like hospitals, schools, nonprofits, youth sports, and a lot more. It's potentially one more triumph for Wall Street over Main Street.
Well, let's move on now to the weekly history lesson.
You know, we're a little bit past the halfway point in the Atlantic hurricane season. Let's cross our fingers that we don't get anything like what happened on September 21st, 78 years ago, when the hurricane of 1938 took between 600 and 700 lives on Long Island and in southern New England.
Well, thankfully, we don't have death tolls that high here anymore, what with better forecasts and warning systems.
You're absolutely right about the loss of life, but consider this. If the hurricane of 38 hit today along a much more densely developed coastline, the damage would be epic. It was a Category 3 storm at landfall, with some weather stations reporting wind gusts up to 180 miles an hour, a 12-foot storm surge that swamped downtown Providence, Rhode Island, and serious inshore flooding from heavy rains.
And heavier rains are just what we're promised with global warming. Peter Dykstra's with Environmental Health News. That's EHN.org and DailyClimate.org. Thanks, Peter. Talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Steve. We'll talk to you soon.
And there's more on these stories at our website, loe.org.
Oh, and Steve, don't forget, hail to the parasitic flatworm.